You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Well, good morning and welcome to Daybreak. It is Tuesday, April 21st. Hopefully everybody survived 420 day. You are back. You are sober. You are not allegedly like Cash Patel at work. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie's on vacation. Are welcome to get involved with the program every day. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. As I mentioned, Jamie's on vacation, but our crack team of producers, executive producer Frank and our technical producer Parker are here with me. Gentlemen, we survived day one of the He-Man Woman Haters Club here on Daybreak, which is unofficial. That's the unofficial name. We don't go with that. We don't hate ladies. We love ladies.
We love them. We love ladies.
Yes, but we also love when our ladies are rested and rejuvenated.
Take a vacation for the first time in a year.
Yeah, that's probably not happening.
She's going to have to travel one of those days. She'll have to be unplugged while she's traveling.
She'll have to be unplugged, for a couple hours at least.
Oh, why do I see? No. Why do I see a laptop and a lot of furious typing during that trip?
For the in-flight Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. And then complain that it doesn't work. Get up and, start. Then we see her in a viral video because she lost her mind that the Wi-Fi on the plane didn't work.
Imagine.
And Jamie gets arrested.
We made it. Guys, we made it one day. I talked to the suits. Not one complaint yesterday.
Not one. Wow.
Not one written complaint from anybody.
Yeah, not written.
Even
with the beaver conversation.
All right. Well, listen. Then let's roll the dice. Parker.
Why? We support Wisconsin Beavers.
We do.
That's right. This is why, Frank, you could tell Parker is new to the industry. He's a young man. He's a recent college graduate. You and I, jaded professionals. We don't get nervous about stuff. Here's the trick, Parker, and this is for every job. This is not just a radio job. Ask forgiveness, not permission.
That's what I hear.
If they were mad, what are they going to do? We already did it. It's like they can chastise us. They can dress us down. You guys, don't you know anything about the community standards? We don't talk about beavers here. We were talking about wild animals.
We were talking about beavers.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. No, you weren't. So good. Well, that's good. Well, this is exciting. Stick around. If you're here now, welcome. We're glad you're here. I think I mentioned that. But if you're sticking around, make sure you stay till 7:30 because we're going to talk to the filmmakers behind a new documentary about Bob Uecker. It's called Uke. They were able to film with Bob during the last 3 years of his life. So great firsthand documentary filmmaking. And it premiered last week. Had its world premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival, so we will talk to those guys at 7:30. Frank, you came to us yesterday. I don't know why you asked Parker. He doesn't have any experience with this. But you have a bachelor party conundrum.
To be honest with you, I need our listeners' help.
Yes, I would like.
I'll ask you guys, too.
No, we need the listeners' help. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
So I was talking to my cousin, and he's planning his bachelor party.
Okay.
You're probably wondering, why isn't his best man doing it?
Oh, I just assumed you were the best man.
I'm not. They've decided that they're not going to have a bridal party.
Really?
I don't know why. They both have many friends. Maybe that's the issue. They don't want to have to choose.
Handle the stuff yourself, pal. You don't want a bridal party.
So that's what's happening, is he's handling it himself.
Okay.
Now, there's like a group chat of like 20 dudes, which is way too many.
Too many dudes.
It's way too many for future reference. Under 10. Because you have to book things. You have to book Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. You have to book hotels, dinner reservations. So he texted all of us and was like, here are the dates. So we got that locked down.
Okay.
We're either going to be in Colorado
Ooh.
Or in the UP.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
I like this.
Is this, what time of year is this?
August.
All right. Two completely different environments.
So wildly different. And I was like, okay, I feel like that doesn't make sense for this guy, but sure. So weeks pass and people start sending question marks in the group chat because we've heard nothing. People want to get this stuff on the books. We're all adults now.
Yeah, we got stuff to do.
Your save the date means nothing for the wedding. The bachelor party, I need hard, concrete evidence for our wives, girlfriends, significant others that I am booked. And he's like, sorry, I've really been slacking. And then my wife talked to his fiance, and apparently he's really struggling finding a place in Colorado, so that's gone. And then he's having a hard time finding a place in the UP. So now I messaged him. I said, hey, man, do you need any help? And he goes, yeah, maybe we should just find a place in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I said,
again,
what
are
the,
August, what's the prime?
What's the criteria?
Time.
He said, I need a good golf course and a place to go hiking. So that is my task for all of our listeners. I need a recommendation for somewhere in Wisconsin for a bachelor party where there's a good golf course and we can go on a hike, apparently. And when I say we go on a hike, I mean everybody else goes on a hike while I sit and drink somewhere else.
Yeah. So you need things around. You need restaurants.
And we need things around. Like
a couple of taverns. Huh. Parker? My first thought, Frank, is Kohler, because they have the nice golf courses up there, and there's things to do.
Yeah.
So
I can see. I don't know what the course is. I'm pretty sure there's something around Wausau. I think they've got stuff.
I'm sure Wausau has a golf course. Could you be a little more specific?
No, Frank. No. Wausau.
Okay. Wausau. You know what? And I'm being
That's
honest
more specific
for everybody
than
out
he
there.
Was.
I am writing down all of these things. I am literally handwriting.
The Dells.
Mini golf at the Dells.
That's a good idea. Mini golf.
Yeah. Mini golf at the Dells.
We did the Dells for my brother's bachelor party.
Fox Valley has lots of good golf courses, and they have, according to Alicia, thank you, Alicia, High Cliff and lots of bars. Fox Valley is good because you got your Appleton. Valley. Your Appleton area, which is fun. One of my favorite bars in the world. You know that is in Appleton. Why is your cousin a golfer or does he
is a golfer.
Okay.
No,
so
he is.
So the golf part makes sense. Are they hikers?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. That but seems to
like
be a thing.
I was going to bring that up. I think that is a thing with people my age.
Yes.
My demographic is they get really into hiking, and I don't get it.
Well, my daughter and son-in-law, future son-in-law, are having a, this is something else I don't understand, the, like a co-bachelor party. Or no, this one they're not. But they're, I know my daughter's bachelorette party is revolving around hiking, too. Some outdoor stuff as well as, well, because they're going to Asheville, and they're going to be in the mountains, and they're going to do some outdoorsy activities. And I'm praying that she doesn't, like, fall down a hill. Devil's Lake for hiking and Great Wolf Lodge
for
golfing.
Golf. Terry.
Terry coming
that's
through.
That's a good
on
one.
WMDX and Cross Plains.
That is a good one.
Listening in Cross Plains. Thank you. Is Cindy holding Parker?
We've got Cindy on the
Cindy,
line.
Cindy, hi.
Here.
Cindy's in Appleton. She has some suggestions for Frank.
All right, Cindy, what do you got?
You could try the Shawano and Cecil area. They have a nice golf, the Golden Sands is a nice golf course. They have their county park. That Washington Inn in Cecil has wonderful food, and the Mountain Bay Trail is right down the road that you can hike for miles in either direction.
All right. That sounds
Cindy,
good, Cindy. Thank
question
you.
For you.
Oh, hold on.
Real quick.
Yep.
Are there also good bars in Shawano?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yep.
Good bars in Wisconsin. Uh-huh. You heard it here first.
Yeah,
breaking news.
Breaking news. Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate
Cindy. That's great. We got a lot of texts coming in, Frank. Terry on listening. I told you that one. Scott is in Madison listening on WMDX. You want to search Ice Age Trail. That's the hiking trail system that runs through all of Wisconsin, and then cross-reference it with a golf resort. That's a good idea, Scott.
Okay.
Good Thank
idea.
You.
I like that.
And then Dez also listening on WMDX. Four Seasons in Pembine, Wisconsin. It's near the UP. Hiking nearby. Bar and restaurant on site.
All right.
That sounds like a nice area.
Also, caveat with this hike thing. Yeah. In the case that I'm forced to go, make sure fat guys can walk fat the guy. Trail.
Is it fat guy friendly?
Is if it needs to be fat guy friendly.
All right.
FGF. Make
See,
it a thing.
This is how I know times have really changed. My bachelor party was, I guess, what you would consider an old school kind of bachelor party. We went, I had nothing to do with it, first of all, as the groom. We went to a steakhouse, whole bunch of us. We had a big steak dinner and some entertainment that came in after dinner. Then we went to an Irish bar, and that's where the bachelor party was supposed to end, which would have been great. But then there were those amongst us who said, oh, let's go to this other bar that stays open till 4.
Of course.
The bachelor party ended with three different law enforcement agencies coming to the bar. One of my brothers standing in an emergency room screaming at the top of his lungs that he was a Christian missionary and didn't deserve to be treated this way. bruised stitches, open lips, bruises, people fleeing down the street. Me throwing one of my brothers behind a dumpster to save him from being pummeled. And me taking probably the hardest punch to the face I've ever taken, shaking it off and coming back up and thinking to myself, yeah, not bad.
So what like did a you, hell of a
who
party.
Who said what?
Yeah.
Somebody said something. Hold on. Did Mr. Noonan?
I did not. I was not.
Really?
I was just in
Does the comedian on the show have some think he was being real funny with wrong
this
person?
One, no. Allegedly, one of my brother, and I don't know how because I've known my brother his whole life. He is not Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. His arms cannot stretch an enormous length. Somehow, there was an allegation, and this bar has a history, but that he somehow reached across and over the bar and touched the female bartender on her rear end.
Oh.
Physically, I don't think it's possible. But all of a sudden, there was about 15 guys. We see him being punched and dragged out of the bar. We all run out of the bar. All the meatheads that frequent the bar run out of the bar. And it is a Donnybrook.
A good old-fashioned Donnybrook.
A good old-fashioned Donnybrook. And we did not know that at that point, the local police department was under investigation by the FBI for corruption. So when the police showed up, the FBI showed up, and the state police showed up. So things were hopping.
Wow.
I can honestly say no fights broke out at my bachelor party.
Well, that's good for you.
Also, Anna says Peninsula Golf Course in Door County. Next to it is Peninsula State Park, which is beautiful. So keep those recommendations coming for bachelor parties in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Alicia seconds the Door County thing. All right. Another member of Trump's cabinet gone. What a shocker. It's 6:20. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Well, good morning. Yes, it is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you are with us this morning. If you want to call in, we're still looking for suggestions. You can do this throughout the show. Frank is looking for suggestions. in Wisconsin for a nice area that has a golf course, the ability for people to go hiking. He's helping plan a bachelor party. Nothing tawdry, but some outdoor activities, some golf, and access to restaurants and bars, etc. So we've been getting some great suggestions. You can keep sending those in at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can text those in. And if you want to call about anything that we're talking about this morning, please do so. But remember, when you dial that number, be nice to Parker, because to get to me, you got to get through him. That's how it goes. Well, in what is not really a shock, another member of the Trump cabinet has resigned, been let go, however you want to put it. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer is out as President Trump's Labor Secretary. That, according to the White House yesterday, she was let go after multiple allegations of abusing her position's power, including having an affair with a subordinate and drinking alcohol on the job. This seems to be common behavior, allegedly, for people in the Trump administration and his cabinet. She is now the fourth person to be let go in, what are we at, a year? Year and a couple months of this latest term? Yeah. He let go, of course. Let's see. We'll go back to the beginning. Mike Waltz was dismissed in May. He was a national security advisor, so President Trump didn't like his vision for securing the nation, and so he was gone. Then, of course, Kristi Noem, RIP, she was fired in March, and she was also accused of partly abusing her power. She was having an affair with a subordinate, so common, I guess. And then who can forget the great Pam Bondi, and by great, I mean awful. She was let go April 2nd. She is gone, and so now Lori Chavez de Remer is the latest to be let go. In a statement posted on social media, everything is social media. Remember when we used to, Parker, you're probably too young for this. They used to have, like, press conferences and things where they would let the fake news mainstream media ask questions, and the press secretary would actually answer them instead of berating the press. It was a weird time.
With real words instead of just like typing stuff up.
Real words where people could actually call you out on things if people had the backbone to call you out on things. And yeah, it was a different time. It was nicer. But anyway, now we live in this. Everything goes on social media. That's how the president decides to negotiate a ceasefire and negotiate with a warring country that he chose to go to war with, but that's another story. So Chavez de Remer praised Trump and wrote, "I am proud that we made significant progress in advancing President Trump's mission to bridge the gap between business and labor and always put the American worker first." How did they put the American worker first? By putting in tariffs that businesses then had to close down and cut their staff? Well, unlike other recent cabinet departures, Chavez de Remer's exit was announced by a White House aide, not by the president on his boy, she didn't even rate a true social post. She got some aide. Tell Bobby to do it. I don't want anything to do with it. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer will be leaving the administration to take a position in the private sector, White House Communications Director Stephen Chung said on social media. She has done a phenomenal job in her role by protecting American workers, enacting fair labor practices, and helping Americans gain additional skills to improve their lives. Which begs the question then, why are you firing her? Keith Sonderling, the current Deputy Labor Secretary, is going to become the Acting Labor Secretary in her place. Notice, the news organization, I use that term loosely, was the first to report on her resignation. Her departure follows reports that began surfacing in January that she was under a series of investigations. A New York Times report last week revealed that the Labor Department's Inspector General was reviewing material showing Chavez de Remer and her top aides and family members routinely sent personal messages and requests to young staff members. Her husband and father exchanged text messages with young female staff members, according to the newspaper. Oh, man. Some of the staffers were instructed by the secretary and her former deputy chief of staff to pay attention to her family. She also faced allegations that she drank alcohol on the job and that she tasked aides to plan official trips for a personal reason. She has, of course, denied all the allegations. Boy, a lot of these cabinet members allegedly and department chiefs drinking on the job. I wonder if that's to quiet the voices in their head, the screaming demons that are making them question all their choices. Because now we'll talk about Kash Patel later, and he's suing the Atlantic because they said he was drinking on the job and too drunk to show up to work. We all know about Whiskey Pete and the rumors about him. So a lot going on there. But, yes, one more down, and we're only a year in. Now, I think during his first administration, there were something like 30 or 40 resignations or firings from different staff positions. He went through a lot of press secretaries. You remember that. He had was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She was the meanest one. Sean Spicer. Yeah, he lasted about a week and a half. There were a lot of them. A lot of people coming through there. So that's RIP. Pour one out for Chavez de Remer and her time as the labor secretary. When we come back, who should decide what your kids are allowed to read? You as their parents, educators, politicians? That is the question for us here. And don't forget, you can always check out our new social media channels. Oh man, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. You can go there and look for Daybreak with Brian and Jamie and follow our adventures. You can always go to Civic Media and download all of the podcasts. If you miss any segment, if you miss any of our great interviews, any of our shows, go there and download the thing. And don't forget, we're still getting more suggestions for Frank for hiking and golf for a bachelor party in Wisconsin. So keep those coming in. But now we must go, and I will be back to ask you that question again. Who should decide what kids are allowed to read? You, educators, politicians. Stay right on the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back. Brian Noonan, Jamie's on vacation, but this is Daybreak. We're glad you're here listening all across the network. Everybody, good morning. If you are listening on the stream, good morning. And don't forget, you can still give Frank some suggestions. Remember, please, when you're making suggestions, if you're just joining us, Frank is looking for an area in Wisconsin where a bachelor party can go for golfing with hiking opportunities that are fat guy friendly and somewhere with proximity to bars and restaurants, so they can make a weekend out of it. The problem becomes there are 20 guys, which seems way too many. But any suggestions are welcome at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Also, here's your question for right now. Who should decide what your kids are allowed to read? You, as their parents, educators, or politicians? I want to hear your answer because I obviously have some of my own. But let me tell you why I'm asking you this. Book bans and attempted bans remain at record highs, according to the American Library Association. And efforts to have titles removed have never been more coordinated or publicized. And that, to me, is the most un-American thing we have going. It used to be the most un-American. Now it's just in the list of the top five. But it gets me extremely frustrated when I realize that people are still trying to ban books. Why are you afraid of ideas? That's the big question. The ALA yesterday issued its annual list of the books most challenged at the country's libraries, part of the association's State of America's Libraries report. Patricia McCormick's Sold, a 2006 novel about sex trafficking in India, topped the list of 2025. Others targeted included Stephen Chbosky's high school novel, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which has been around forever, Maria Kobabi's graphic memoir, Gender Queen, and Sarah J. Maas's romantic fantasy, Empire of Storms. Now, you can say, well, listen, Brian, that's why they're being banned. Listen, they all have a similar theme, don't they? Similar, I guess, but again, just because there's ideas you don't agree with doesn't mean nobody should be able to read them. The ALA usually features 10 books, but this year they have 11, with four tied for eighth place. Anthony Burgess's dystopian classic A Clockwork Orange Ellen Hopkins' sibling drama Identical, John Green's boarding school narrative Looking for Alaska, and Jennifer L. Armentrout's paranormal romance Storm of Fury. So objections to these that are being brought about by the people who want them banned include LGBTQ plus themes, sexual violence, and use of alcohol and cigarettes. This coming from the parents who are downing a couple highballs on a Friday night and smoking a pack of Pall Malls out in the backyard. But we don't want our kids reading about that. Overall, the ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom recorded challenges to 4,235 different works, topped only by 4,240 in 2023. That's when the association started they started tracking banning in about 30 years ago. So, the association defines a challenge as an attempt to have a library resource removed or access to it restricted based on the objections of a person or a group. No, sorry, you don't get to decide for everybody else. As we celebrate National Library Week, reaffirm that libraries are places for knowledge, for access, and for all, said the ALA president, Sam Helmick. Libraries exist to make space for every story and every lived experience. Now, for decades, challenges to a given book have come from a parent or another member of the local community, your local Gladys Kravitz, who wants to get in everybody else's business. She thinks because she wants to shelter her kid from this, or she doesn't agree with the subject matter of a book, then nobody's kid should be able to read this book. Well, that has all changed. Now there's groups of Gladys Kravitzes. And in recent years, the ALA has found the trend has shifted sharply to government officials and conservative advocates, activists, such as Moms for Liberty. You know Moms for Liberty. Not only do they try to get books banned, they tried to get curriculums changed. They don't want your children learning that, hey, guess what? America was guilty of slavery and some other horrific things, too. For all the good of America, there's also some bad. They don't want to hear the bad. They don't want to hear that Johnny might have two moms. They want you to just have a nice whitewashed version of everything. And all ideas must be the same ideas. Well, thankfully, that's not happening. So they're advocating parental choice in deciding what schools and libraries should make available. Here's the thing, friends. You do, no matter what, you do have parental choice. If your child brings home a book from the library, first of all, it's incumbent upon you as their parent to take a look at what they're reading. What's that book you're reading? It's this. I've never heard of that. Can I take a look? Yeah, and you read the jacket cover and you go, I don't know. Then, God forbid, you read it yourself and make a decision. But you as a parent do have the choice to let your child read that book or not. What you as an individual parent do not have the right to do is dictate what my kid can read and what Parker's future kid can read and what anybody else's kid can read. See, there's the difference. Everybody likes to preach that we're taking away their parental rights. No, we're not. We're taking away your right to be a busybody and inflict us with your mental baggage. That's not how it works. Florida, Texas, and Utah are among many states that have called for books to be banned or pass restrictive legislation. Shocking. In Iowa, an appellate court ruled earlier this month that the state can enforce a law that limits teachers from talking about LGBTQ plus topics with students in kindergarten through the sixth grade and bans some books. Last year, more than 90% of challenges arose from activists and government officials, according to the ALA, compared with 72% in 2024. It has become another battle in this culture war. Now, I know what a lot of people on the pro side of banning books and limiting speech in schools are going to say. Do you want your kindergarten kid learning about blah, blah, blah? Well, in graphic details, no. If it comes up in a book that is age appropriate and you can teach that lesson, okay. And if you then, the parent, you might have to have a difficult conversation when your child comes home from school and goes, oh, we read this book about penguins, and it said the penguins have two dads. Huh. Well, nobody should read that. You could react that way if you're narrow-minded, or you could sit down with your kid and have a conversation. And I know that would mean also opening your mind to new ideas. Or even if you don't want to open your mind to new ideas, tell them your closed-minded opinion, and then when they're older, they'll figure it out for themselves. I think both can be true. You can have age-appropriate material covering topics that you might not agree with for whatever reason, as misguided as they might be. But again, and this is the point that has to keep being hammered home, your personal beliefs do not get to dictate everyone's access. That is not how this country works, or not how it used to work, and not how it's supposed to work. I don't mind you doing whatever you want in the privacy of your own home. You can raise your kids however you want. But what you can't do is raise my kids, because I have different thoughts and feelings than you do, and yours are valid when in your home raising your children. But how dare you think that you have the right to tell me, these organized political groups like Moms for Liberty, they're not for liberty. Their name is a misnomer. They are for oppression. They are for liberty as long as you do exactly what we say. If not, then there is no liberty. Now, have you read any of these? They're banned book week. We'll talk about banned book week when it comes up, because that's my favorite week. It's kind of like a finger to the man. You're gonna read. I'm gonna read these books. And every time I talk about these stories, all I can see is these pictures of old protests where they had books in barrels, and it's some religious leader standing up there screaming, holding a book that was somehow penned by the devil, and he's going to throw it in. Or I remember record bans during rock and roll times, or when the Dixie Chicks spoke out and there was the big record ban, everybody was going to burn her books. I don't know many of these. I read The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I read Clockwork Orange. Also saw the movies. I don't know these other books, but maybe I'd like them, maybe I wouldn't, but that's not the point. The point is, Frank, you have a question?
I want to.
Is it about your bachelor party? Because we're still getting a lot of great.
I appreciate everybody weighing in, but we're talking about book banning. Now,
yes,
Brian,
we are.
You've worked in schools.
Yes, I have.
So the original question being, who should make that judgment call?
The ultimate judgment call goes to the ultimate judgment call goes to the parent at the end of the day. But the educators are going to make the decision of what's on the curriculum and what's in the library.
Right. So why now? You've worked in a school before.
Yes.
So can't we just do what teachers do when there's a movie being shown in class, where you bring home the permission form and have your parents sign it if it's a controversial book?
Well, what's controversial to you and your, let's say the fifth graders in my school.
Mm-hmm.
By the fifth graders, there were a couple students who were starting to come to terms with their sexual identity. The parents were talked to, and there was communication between the teacher and the administration and the parents of how to handle that. But the fifth graders, how do you know a book's controversial? So I can't put that blanket statement out. The kids go to the library, mm-hmm. and the books are divided for, you know, kindergarten, first, second grade. Then the chapter books are over here. Those are for the older kids. And the librarians do a good job of mm-hmm. keeping the kids in their age group, because you want kids to read age-appropriate books. But you can't have a permission slip for every week to go to the library, because, again, I may choose a book that has a theme that my parents are fine with me reading, mm-hmm. and your kid might choose a book and they get it home and you, for whatever reason, don't like this book. Well, the librarian doesn't know that what specific paragraph or what chapter or what theme in the book is going to be offensive to you.
Right.
So we can't call a book is not objectionable. A book is a book. How you perceive the book, how you perceive the theme and the characters and the story, that's where people get wounded or triggered or offended or whatever.
Right. But in that situation, I'm more thinking like curriculum based, like We're reading, we're reading Catcher in the Rye, right? Mm-hmm. Controversial book because of the Lenin thing.
Right.
If I'm an administrator, do you send home something, be like, hey, class is reading Catcher in the Rye. We know it's controversial. If you're a parent that doesn't want your kid doing this, your kid's getting an alternate assignment. Just like you would if we were watching a rated R movie.
I think when you, first of all, there, and I've only been in grade school. So high school, it's going to be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
In grade school, the teachers have a reading list. They'd say, okay, this is at conferences or whatever. They meet the teacher night. They go, these are what we're going to be reading. Then it's up to the parents to come in. I think if you start giving people way too much choice, everybody can't do their own research on medicine. Everybody can't do their research on education and curriculums. There are professionals for that. If you don't agree with it at the time, you can go and speak to somebody. And then, yes, it's incumbent upon the administration to make some adjustments. But you don't lay it out. You got to trust us to do what we're doing. It's Daybreak, Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak. Jamie's on vacation, but that doesn't mean you don't have to call or text. You can. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The question that we're going to get to in just a second, where does up north begin in Wisconsin? Everybody uses the term, we're going up north. Well, if you're in Kenosha, up north could be Milwaukee. Could it or is it? Where, in your opinion, where does up north begin in Wisconsin? But before we do that, we were talking about book bans right before the break, and Scott, listening on WMDX here in Madison, wanted to chime in. He said, industries that make content generally self-regulate to keep the government out of regulating themselves. Movie and music and video game industries all self-regulate with a rating system. The thing that confuses me is, why don't publishers do the same thing? What makes books special from a rating system? Well, most books are written, the books that are written for adults, everybody realizes they're for adults. If you look, a lot of books that are targeted for children on the spine will either say like 1A or YA rather for young adult, or it's obvious that a little kid book is a little kid book. There's usually their paperback. They've got big print, a lot of pictures, but the majority of books that you would see in a public library outside of the children's section are adult books, so they don't need to be rated. Most people who pick up a book know what that book is going to be about. And if they don't know what it's about, they are the type of reader who is just open to any experience. So that is why, you know, adult books don't ever, when you're an adult, do you really need things rated? Do you need a book rated or a movie rated or a video game? That's mostly for children. And so the books, I know some of the books in the school library for the younger kids. And again, my experience is in preschool through fifth grade. So I don't know when you get to high school if it's different, but I do know up where in the section where the fifth graders would get their, what they call chapter books. Parker, do you still call them chapter books?
I did call them chapter books when I was in school, yes.
Yes, everybody did, because suddenly when you make that jump.
It's a big boy
to
book.
Chapter book, it's a big deal. You're a big boy now.
Yeah.
You could read books with chapters. But those, you know, those have something on them to indicate the level or anything. But thank you for that. All right, Parker, I gotta weigh in with you on this, because you live in Madison, you've traveled the state, you're a man about town. In your opinion, where does up north begin?
I think Highway 29 is what I go with. I believe.
All right, I'm looking at that. That's like two-thirds of the way up.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin. What is that? Is that near like Stevens Point?
I believe it runs a little north of Stevens Point, kind of through Wausau, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And towards Chippewa Falls, I think. I think that's about, or Eau Claire, maybe.
Okay.
I think that's about, for me, that's the cutoff. I don't know if I have any particular, I guess I'll put it this way. It's a lot easier for me to name towns that are south of that line that are north of that line.
Okay.
I don't know a lot of stuff up there because a lot of it's so small. And to me, up north means, I don't want to say wilderness, but yes, wilderness, but smaller stuff.
I think people who live in that area would agree. That's part of the charm is the wilderness, the more rustic areas.
Yeah.
Smaller towns.
Where's it for you though, Brian?
I'm guessing then from your description, Door County is a separate thing, right? Like Door County is Door County. That doesn't count as up north. What's something weird is happening?
Frank was being weird there. I don't know what he
Frank,
was doing. Frank,
you're causing
how was I
feedback
being weird?
We could hear ourselves.
Because you came in and there was feedback.
Yeah.
An echo.
I didn't hear anything.
Well, we did.
I don't think I'm the problem. Yeah,
we did and the listeners did. And I think that...
But where is up north, Frank?
I'm going to drop this on you. Lake Geneva's up north to me.
Lake Geneva. Oh, God, you're such a fib.
Now, see, I've been like up near the Iron Mountain area. That's up north. I've been to Stevens Point in Wausau, and I would agree, Parker, that to me is north. I don't know, other than I've been in Eau Claire a number of times and up in Stevens Point in Wausau a number of times. That I would say is probably the border. Once I cross that, then I'm up north. Then I'm really far north. Alicia says 29 is north of Green Bay. Anything north of Green Bay is up north. Alicia says I live up north. All right, then your opinion is everybody's opinion is welcome, but Alicia has it because she lives there. So, Parker, you were right, 29. So, we got this question from Up North News, and they're doing a poll if you want to go there and vote.
There you go.
But, 29 seems to be – because now I'm looking at Highway 70. That's way up north. That's the top of the state. You can't begin up north when you are up north.
There are places that are so north that don't think anything else can be north. Yeah.
Yeah, like the – it's when you get that – far up in Wisconsin, you're in Canada. You can't really. So you're not where up north. You're up north ends. You're very far away.
You're up north is the UP.
Yes. The UP is up north. Oh my God.
I've never been to the UP. I'd love to get up there.
The other end?
Yeah.
Up near the St. Ignace Escanaba area? That's very nice over there. I've gone end to end in the UP. And it's beautiful in the spring, summer, and fall. I made the mistake of going across the UP in the winter. Treacherous.
Oh, that sounds like a bad idea.
Very bad idea. And the only shade I will throw on the UP is, man, you got to stay alert because there's wild beasts jumping in front of your car nonstop. It's almost like you're driving through a petting zoo. It's like, what's happening? I can't escape all these animals. And I don't know if people still use deer whistles on their car, but I debated stopping. You ever heard of those? You put them on the front bumper, and they, as the air goes through them, they spin and they make a high-pitched noise
to
alert deer and stuff that you're coming down the road at 70 miles an hour.
Interesting.
So you're just hoping the deer have good reaction. When we come back in the second hour, it's headlines, and then we'll talk to the filmmakers behind the new documentary Uke at 7:35. Stay with us. It's 7 o'clock. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.